Okay, welcome back to the show. It's 10 minutes gone past 4. And of course, at this hour, we'll be talking vote buy-in, a concern for the 2023 elections. More like a question, though. Is vote buying a concern for the 2023 elections? And, well, of course, a coalition of over 80 civil rights organizations under the aegis of the Nigerian Civil Society Situation Room on Saturday raised doubts over the credibility of the governorship election in Osun State. And what was this about? Following alleged public sale and buying of votes. Well, the organization said that although priority voting was given to the elderly and persons with disabilities in most of the polling units, a few of the polling units were located in places where with staircases, making it inaccessible for people with crutches. Now, the NCCSR raised the issues in its second preliminary statement signed by its co-conveners, Eneobi Asmau Joda and James Ugochukwu. And the statement reads, quote, "There was open negotiation of buying and selling of votes well coordinated by the polling agents in many of the polling units. There were no complaints from any of them against each other. Codes and coupons were used to extract commitments from voters as opposed to the blatant money exchanging hands observed in the Ekiti State governorship election." So they also went on to say that no violence has been recorded and the number of people who came out was encouraging. And of course, they commended the people of the state for coming out early to cast their votes. All right. And every other thing they said about INEC deploying materials and personnel and all of that stuff. Okay. But this issue of votes buying and selling, that is our focus for today. And joining me for this conversation via telephone, though, is Dr. Anthony Chukwuemeka Okoye, who is a lecturer and, of course, a consultant, Department of Political Science, Federal University, Otoke, Bayelsa State. You're welcome to the show, sir.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome again. Okay, so let's start off this way, looking at the outcome of the Osun State governorship election. Of course, Ademola Adeleke emerged winner. How would you describe the outcome of that election?
I'm talking about the Osun State governorship election that was conducted over the weekend. I think the process was, to an extent, fair. It was fair in the sense that the people's opinion or the choice that was actually made by the people reflected in the result announced by INEC. But talking about e-transparency, I've confirmed the issue at hand, the issue of vote buying. That is why I don't want to use the words being free, but I think the result announced reflected the opinion of the people.
Interesting. Okay, now with the issue raised, the issue of votes buying. I also saw a report, I think it's in the Vanguard, where they highlighted that in some of the voting booths, the voters did not have some kind of privacy. It was more like as the person was voting, you could see what they were doing. So looking at these issues for elections that are happening in 2022, would you say that we are even making progress at all in the electoral process and, of course, elections?
Yes, I think we are making progress.
What kind of progress have we made?
You know, progress is by graduation.
Okay.
If you look at the previous election, at the wee hours of our democratic sojourn, there was no instance of violence in that election. So I think to that extent, one can say that we are progressing. At least we are gradually leaving the era of electoral violence during a polling day. But talking about transparency and the issue of privacy for the voter, I wouldn't say we are making progress to get the difference of it. But we should understand that politicians and their cohorts continually perfect their tactics to shortchange the electoral culture and the democratic values. So it's a opt-out plan by the stakeholders in the election. So the issue of privacy for the voters, to me, if we look at the issue of privacy, I don't think we are making progress in that regard, because election is a serious business for democracy. And the voter should be free to make his choice without being monitored in any form. So whatever decision or choice that a voter is making should be left for him. It should be left for him and his spirit. No other person should be there to know who he voted for. That is why it is called open secret. Even though it's in the open, but it should still be a secret that no one should know who voted for who.
All right, so I'm looking at the Vanguard report, okay, looking at, they were highlighting some of the things that may have helped Ademola Adeleke to emerge victorious in this particular election. A former Deputy National Publicity Secretary of the PDP over there, he actually said something. He mentioned some of the factors that may have... or some of the factors that led to Adeleke's victory. One of them was, he said the people of Osun State were ready to change the government in Osun State. The people were ready to change the government, right? And then he went on to say that they wanted to avenge the rigging of 2018. Well, he's the one who is saying that there was a rigging then, and the people wanted to avenge it. And he said, and perhaps things would have changed a little if the incumbent government had performed, but the government did not do anything for the people of Osun State. And he also mentioned so many other things, actually. But my interest is in the part where he said the people were ready to change the government. Now, this is something that a lot of people have been clamoring for a couple of years now. All right. It's part of the things that pushed the 2015 election. People were like, no, we need change, we need something new. And of course, this time around, people are still screaming the same thing. What would you say, okay, should be the resolve for Nigerians come 2023? I mean, if we're all clamoring and saying we need a change, really, should we look at what the people of Osun State did and say, okay, this is what it should be? Let's all come out and exercise our franchise and actually say this is what we want. What should it look like? That's what I want to find out from you.
Okay. Looking at the issue state scenario, let us not confuse issue here for ourselves. The issue scenario is a complicated situation.
How so?
It's a complex scenario. In the sense that there are key factors that led to what that transpired in Osun over the weekend. You know, just like in 2015, you mentioned, some people are of the opinion that in 2015, that it was PDP that defeated PDP and not APC. And there is this allegation that the APC in Osun State went into that pool divided. And we all know that a house that is divided cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
So within the APC camp, we have factions and factions. So if the APC went into that election as being alleged, I don't see them surviving the contest. So looking at it from the point of the people, again, that the people are prepared and have made up their mind to change the government. To an extent, I will still say yes again. The people actually made up their mind. But So we need to look at the bigger scenario. The APC government at the center, you know, the people are disenchanted with the APC government at the center. If we look at it from the point of human security, if we should look at our lives, should we compare our lives now and what where we were in 2015? I think a good number of Nigerians will wish to go back to 2015. So anything that will remove the APC government from power, most persons in Nigeria today are willing and ready to do that. So Osun State is not an exception, and Osun State is a part and parcel of Nigeria. So the economic situation, the political situations, and all sorts of wars, there are a complex of issues that let the world we see in Osun. Now, if we are to project, as what makes we do, come 2023 elections, I think it is too early to call. All of us now are filed for us to change this change. Because APC in 2015 ran on the mantra of, they ran on the change mantra. And the people are saying, let us change the change now. But my question is, we that want to change the change, what is our electoral mindset? And that brings us back to the central theme of this program, where we are talking about vote buying. Let us not forget that vote buying is a complex issue. It has the supply and demand side. So vote buying has the supply and demand side. Because a trader cannot be selling and buying at the same time. So if the people are making up their mind to change the government, the question here is, have the people equally made up their mind to desist and resist voter inducement and vote buying? Can we close our hearts, close our eyes to all these materials that are being used to induce us to vote for a particular candidate? So it is not just enough going to social media shouting, change, we are done. The question is, when the chips are down, can we resist that inducement when it comes to us? But another side of it again is that there is this popular opinion again that the politicians in Nigeria, being whom they are, they find a way of presentizing the people so that whenever you drop any peanuts on the table, the people are willing to struggle to get that peanut. At least, you remember, even in our Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread. So the people are looking for that daily bread, which, according to our friend Fayose, he talked about the smart infrastructure. So it is not just enough for the people to be clamoring to change the government of the day, but as we are changing the government of the day in the social media platform, if we first change our mindset, our electoral mindset, I think we have a Herculean task ahead. Thank you.
Interesting. Well, we'll still come back to you, Dr. Okoye. We'll go on a commercial break here. When we return, we're still talking. Is votes buying a concern for the 2023 elections? Do stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back to Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Constance. All right, and we're still talking, is vote buying a concern for the 2023 elections? And my guest, Dr. Anthony Okoye is still here with me on the phone, though. And, of course, we're still talking, looking at the issue of vote buying that was mentioned or pointed out by election observers during the governorship election in Osun State. So, this is my question now, Dr. Okoye. Who should we say is the culprit here when we talk about vote buying? Is it the politician who is desperate to get into power, who, for me, I would say, is ignorant of what preparation for an election is? Or should we say it's the person who, of course, is the electorate who has given himself to accept these monies or whatever that is given to them by the politicians whenever these things come? Of course, we also know that other part where for a very long time now, it seems once the people get into power, the politician gets into power, he cuts off from the people who voted him into power. So some of the people feel this is my opportunity to get something from this person. Or should we also say it's the electoral umpire who should have adequately educated the electorate? Or should we say it's the security agents who were supposed to ensure that these things do not happen, especially at election grounds? Who should we say is the culprit here?
Okay. As I pointed out earlier, I did say that vote buying has a demand and supply aspect. But before we let us equally recognize the fact that vote buying is an aspect of what we call political marketplace. So when the political marketplace, we cannot easily isolate one person out of the rest, because the demand and supply factors, as we are taught in simple economics, is what that determines the price of a commodity in an open market. Now, let us kind of, if we should isolate in the pool, because you mentioned the politician, the voter, INEC, and then the security agencies. Let us isolate INEC and the security agencies for now.
Okay.
And focus principally on the politician and the voter. If we have to look at who is the culprit, in the strict sense of it, it will be very difficult to isolate one from the other. It will be very difficult. I think both the voters and the politicians are the culprit.
Okay. Now, I mentioned the issue of preparation, right, for politicians.
Yeah.
What should preparation look like for a political office aspirant and, of course, the parties that field these candidates?
Okay, looking at the preparation, it is not from the aspect of that vote buying, because permit me to take us back to it. The reason why I'm saying this is nothing else than the fact that if we say that we are looking at vote buying, why buy vote? That is the question. And you see the element of unpreparedness, you see that desperation on the part of the politician. So I tend to wonder whether it is a case of what Marx would call poverty of philosophy, you know? Because for you to buy votes means you have failed to do what you're supposed to do. Because if actually you fulfill your campaign promises, you need not to buy votes. Yes, the people themselves.
But campaign promises are fulfilled after they get into office. The promises are for when they get into office.
Yes. So when you are going into office, during the campaign, you make promises. You promise us you will do this, you will do that, you will do this. And as soon as these people get into office, that is the problem that are associated with vote buying. Because vote buying is like a marketplace. That is like an aspect of political marketplace. So within political marketing, someone has bought something. You know, you lose this right to question the person again on how to use what he or she bought with his money.
Hmm.
If I buy a car from you now, you will not tell me how to drive the car again.
Yeah.
In my property, right? I will use my car the way I want. That is the thing here.
Dr. Koye, so if you're establishing here now that vote buying is as a result of unpreparedness, that's why I'm asking, what should preparation look like? If a political, if they are coming out aspiring for a position, what should they do? Maybe they do not really know, and that's why they factor in vote buying, or some of them factor in vote buying as part of their preparation. I mean, we see what happened with the conventions of the big parties.
Yeah. Okay, now, what preparation should look like is, you know, democracy tries anywhere in the world in the absence of constructive opposition. The opposition party is like a shadow government. Now, preparation should take the form of coming up with party manifesto, having an ideology that the people can kick into, that people can identify. And you don't just go about making promises of what you don't intend to fulfill. That is where the problem starts.
Okay.
The politician promised the people what they never intend to fulfill and what they know that they can't even fulfill in the first instance. Because it's like someone coming out to tell me that he will make my state the Dubai of Africa. The first question I will ask the person is, how do you wish to go about this? What are the economics behind this, your promises? Why is it money and revenue to do this reconstruction? So the preparedness in the sense as you are asking it is the politicians need to go back, look at the problems and challenges of the people they are representing. So liberal democracy or electoral democracy as a practice, the politicians that represent the interests of the people, up to first of all, identify this reality of the people and capture them in a way that they will look implementable. They'll be implementable. You know, governance is a process. It's not something you want to start today and finish tomorrow.
Yeah.
Identify the ones you believe you can handle, given the political economy of this period. So when do you identify such things? For instance, in Nigeria now, you see how much we are buying petrol products. Even when we are crude oil producing country. I don't know if you look at this, it's an irony to me that Nigeria has over 4 refineries. We allow our 4 refineries to die. And you know the capacity of our refineries. Niger Republic that don't produce oil, just a small refinery. And Nigeria, we are building pipelines to move our crude oil here from Nigeria to the Czech Republic to refine for us, and we bring it back to Nigeria. We got it back to us. You see why we are buying it at the higher cost. So, preparation here comes with identifying these social realities of the people and catch them as your campaign promises, and first and the most important thing. Before you make the promises, be sure you are ready to fulfill them. Not just what we call criminal promises. Just to get good. And once you go there, you abandon your people. That is what, to me, I think politicians should do in terms of preparation.
All right. Now, there's this belief that a lot of Nigerians have. They believe that their votes do not count. What are your thoughts on this?
Saying that our votes do not count, I think is a fatalistic situation. I will call that fatalistic resignation. You know? So I don't want to believe that our votes do not count. Our votes count. If our votes do not count, the question is, why do politicians buy votes? I don't know if you are getting my point.
Yeah.
So if truly our votes do not count, why would they be willing to part with their hard-core money in millions and in trillions, in billions? So why would they be willing to purchase votes, to invest votes that if our votes do not count. Our votes count.
All right. Well, let's open the phone lines and get other people's reactions to what we are discussing. Of course, we're still talking about vote buying and looking at the 2023 elections. And I'm asking, is vote buying a concern for the 2023 elections? All right. So the numbers to call are 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0002, and 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0003, and 0817-923-0007.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Hello, you're welcome to Hard Facts.
Yes, good afternoon.
You're welcome, good evening.
Yeah, I disagree with Jan Jess because he made mention of political marketing.
Okay.
Political marketing has to do with campaign. Going to different places to campaign for the citizens to vote for you. It does not involve a political crime or political criminality, which vote buying is one of the political crimes or political criminality. So the best thing to do is that if we are to have the standard INEC organization, what they should have done would have been to arrest the political party by the people that are in charge of that political party, or to arrest those that commit this crime and I take them to court. Then they'll be judged and in prison. But they don't do that. What they do is overlook them. Because if there is vote buying, it is not the spirit that do that. It's human beings from one party or the other. Why not arrest the representatives of that party and take them to court and judge them or disqualify them?
Okay.
They would be there plenty.
All right. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. You're welcome.
Chinke Daniel, Imogeto Sako.
All right, Chinke Daniel. We're listening.
To answer your question straight, it's a big concern in 2023. Major one indeed. You ask me why. Even in Osun State, where the PDP won, we hear the senator is a billionaire. And not only that, a House of Representative member confirmed this, that both APC and PDP, we are buying votes. And many of the people now are saying, oh, the election was the best, very transparent. People voted their choice, which means even the winner himself, as they said, even bought votes that make him win. So the problem, like the guest there said, if there is no buyer, yes, they know the vulnerability of Nigerians, poverty. Oh, they will just come with the money and inflate them with the money. With their strategy, they know how to manipulate and announce their results. Even the IMEX themselves, they are not trusted. Talking of our security agencies, they can just give them money, do whatever they want. And we have a long way.
Oh my, that happened. Apologies. Anyway, I'm sure you were trying to say we have a long way to go. One message here on WhatsApp says, when it comes to vote buying, how many will... Okay, why do you have to mention a particular political party? Anyway, you say how many will they buy? Now, let me leak a little secret. Some people now are planning to collect their bag of rice and money and still vote their minds, just as it happened in Oshun. So it's not about structure anymore. The people are not fools anymore. So we shall collect their money and vote whom we want, not party. This person says, did anyone really expect the absence of vote buying? Why? Is it because of the concluded party primaries that was done without vote buying? Which wasn't the case. The party primaries recently concluded had vote buying on display. 2023 won't be different. Interesting. Hello, you're welcome to Hard Facts. What's your name? Hello?
Hello?
Good evening. Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, good evening. Thank you. I'm John calling from Port Harcourt.
All right, John. Please go on.
Yeah. And we, the electorate, we are trying our best against all odds to make sure we get our PVCs. We want to vote because we believe our vote counts. But you see, those of them in power, I mean the politicians themselves, are not helping matters. If you remember rightly, like I do, and I've never seen any sensitization much more than the one we are having now concerning the upcoming elections. But you see, even the governor of this state told us of how he delivered Obaseki in Edo State. I went to Edo State, slept 3 days in an hotel, and delivered Obaseki. So when politicians themselves tell us this, I mean, how do we believe that our vote counts? How do we believe, for God's sake, that our vote counts? If one man can say that he delivered to the society, I mean, it's appalling. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello, good evening, Nigeria Info.
Good evening, what's your name?
This is Dakuku calling from Apofi Chase.
All right, Dakuku, welcome.
Madam, see, let me tell you, when we talk of vote buying, I'm always saying this. After the vote buying, I've started doing primary. If you see, people that went for vote primary, PDP primary, most of them who came back from River State, they come with a nice car. Who don't have car? They buy a car of 2 million, 3 million.
Where did you see these people?
The
Hello?
So when we are talking of primary, now, the vote buy is going to happen again. Then each unit, as I'm here, if they don't pay me my followers, I have a more than 100 followers. If they don't pay each person, I will not allow them to vote. Because after when they get there, they forget to vote. What they promise us to do. So nobody can go there and vote, ordinary. You cannot stop. People buy secretly.
So, hold on. Can you hear me? Hello? So first of all, you were saying you saw some people who did not have cars come home with cars after the PDP convention.
Yes. I'm just telling you, after PDP convention, they come back to the US. I know a friend of mine. He came out with them, a motor of 2 million.
Interesting. And he told you he got it after, from the convention.
I don't tell lies.
All right, so that's the first one. The second one...
I'm going to leave a tissue. Go to exit for that in me. Not confusing.
Okay, I didn't hear that part, but...
So, the main election, they vote by...
I'm trying to hear... There was a second thing you said. Oh, God. Okay.
Are you getting me? The person
not really. I'm really not getting you. You're screaming.
I have one leg candidate. Everything will follow me.
Okay, I think I've heard that thing now. I wanted to hear. You said something about people not... If they don't get 5,000 naira, they will not vote. I just wanted you to say that again. You say you have some candidates or some people following you or something. Dr. Okoye.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so I'm sure you've been listening to what the callers are saying. Yeah. So, looking ahead, right? Before we get to what INEC should do, or maybe civil society organizations and every other stakeholder who is involved, all right, looking at 2023, let's talk about after elections. Because right now, there's so much buzz about 2023 elections. Oh, get your PVCs, register, get your PVCs, come out and vote. We must all vote. We're all screaming right now, let's vote, let's vote. But after the elections and voting and a winner has been announced and then they take up the seat of power, let's talk about holding leaders accountable, because that seems to be a problem for me. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. We vote people into power and they get in there, they're doing things the way they're doing it that is not working. And it seems we cannot hold them accountable. What should holding leaders accountable look like? Is it to call into a radio station when such discussions are going on to, you know, lend your voice, or to go on social media? How should we do that?
Okay, so accountability in the political space has various dimensions. And what that just led us in Osun State is itself a form of accountability. So accountability in the political arena or in governance, you know, someone can be accountable to you after you have campaigned and make this policy. Accountability on the part of the leader is delivering those dividends of democracy that he promised the people. Now, if we actually go back to it, you know, we talk about the electoral political marketplace. And my friend said that he disagreed with me.
Yeah, that vote buying is political criminality, it's not marketing.
Yes, I quite agree with him to an extent. But he should understand that every market has its rules. And that the market has its rules does not mean that people do not violate those rules. So vote buying is a violation of the rules of the political marketplace. But data that is made, coming to your question about accountability, accountability, you know, in campaign, during campaign, political parties and their candidates sell themselves to you, sell their program to you, and make these promises to you, to the electorate. The electorate sits back and go through these various programs, the various promises, and identify the ones that appeal or actually addresses their needs. Now, if the leader, when you have voted a person into election, because that's what we call election intergovernance. That is what you see more in Nigeria and other third world countries. You know, what we talk about election intergovernance or election by democracy. So, you don't just vote somebody into power and go out. I don't know if you're with me.
Yes, that's why I'm asking, what should this accountability look like? When we say hold the leaders accountable, what should we be doing?
There are two ways of holding them accountable.
All right.
First and foremost, we need to ensure that our representatives maintain constituency offices. Because oftentimes, you find that most of our senators, those in House of Reps, those in House of Assembly, and down to councillors, don't have any office where they consult committee to the people. So ordinarily, the bills and the programs, before voting on serious matters in the House, the rep supposed to consult with his constituents and carry their opinion back to the House. So first of all, we don't even, in Nigeria, have not heard of recall. Have we recalled anybody in the recent past?
Nah, I don't think so.
So by the time we start recalling the people in legislative chambers, by the time we start, you recall one or two for not carrying the constituents along in his voting pattern in the House, I think the other 54.
Okay,
that's
so
the one way of accountability. The other way is during the election, if we can shun money, yesterday and even today, I still see in the social media some people saying that they took money from the politicians and still voted their conscience. So by the time you start voting people out based on their performance in offices, I think that is equally another form of accountability. You force them.
Okay. Alright.
The violence is by force. You mean the kind of force of violence.
Okay, we just have less than 3 minutes before 5 p.m. So, Dr. Okoye, let's wrap up the conversation now with what INEC should do more, and not just INEC, CSOs and every other person, should I say stakeholders in the political arena, what should they do more now as we prepare for 2023?
Okay. history of INEC, INEC is based political party activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I am yet to go properly digest the Electoral Act as revised.
Mm.
So, to know if our Electoral Act have actually captured the establishment of electoral courts. Because electoral misconduct and malpractices is something that needs to be dealt with in the field of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not just proper that someone committed electoral offense today and you take it to conventional court and allow it to drag from now till after the certain tenure in office is about expiring. Then you say that you are convicting the person. I don't think justice delayed to me is justice denied. So first of all, INEC should be up and doing in monitoring and regulating the activities of political parties.
Okay.
Wherever it is established that a given political party won election at the altar of vote inducement and vote buying, I think that victory should be annulled and reversed.
All right.
So, but in a case where the first, second, and third or fourth parties they are involved, if all of them are involved, that is where it becomes a bit difficult.
All right, so let's talk about the CSOs, what they should also do more.
Looking at the CSO side, the CSOs should do more of advocacy.
All right.
They should do more of advocacy. Why INEC equally should equally do more of voter education on the people? Because the people need to understand the implications of vote buy and voter and inducement.
All right, Dr. Anthony Okoye, I think this is where we actually have to draw the curtain on the conversation. Dr. Anthony Chukwuebuka Okoye is a lecturer and consultant, Department of Political Science, Federal University of Otoke Bayelsa State. Thank you for being on Hard Facts today.
Thank you.